Hello and welcome to Unipass Market Insights. Thanks for tuning in again, especially to this special episode from the Unipass booth at the eWorld 2025. On my side again, as usual, the man who doesn't really need an introduction, I'll do it anyways, Gregor Pett, our chief analyst. Hello, Gregor.
Hello, Florian. Good to be here.
Thanks, yeah, for joining us. You've been on the eWorld for 2 days now, and you've been in different conversations with clients, with media and so on. What is the impression that you have from the eWorld so far?
Again, this year bigger than previous years, at least that's my impression. So you can see it in the traffic situation, but also the people who go past the booth. Yeah. And again, it's getting bigger and bigger. I think there's more and more need to discuss that people come here and discuss the topics in the energy world.
You mentioned it previously as well. You know, a lot of geopolitics going on right now. It's a very turbulent time in the world. Maybe we can run through some of the developments there. We have the Middle East, where we have the ceasefire currently attached with some question marks from energy politics. I would say what sticks out is, of course, the U.S. pressure on Iran when it comes to the export of oil. Can you maybe share some insights what's behind that move?
Yeah, it's very clear that the Iran is getting a lot of pressure from the U.S. I mean, they have been supporting a lot of forces in the region that were attacking Israel. They are now, as a result of that, facing the pressure. Please do not further discuss the humanitarian situation, which is, of course, terrible. In the energy world, there's a number of factors that have an influence, and in particular oil production, so which is one of the main sources of revenues for Iran. And when that is targeted, of course, that has a very strong impact on Iran. But also the, in particular, LNG exports out of the Gulf region that go through the Straits of Hormuz, which is very close to Iran. And the conflict can also have an impact on these routes. So it's quite significant for the energy world.
So, yeah, we discussed the different routes of the trade there as well. Let's move to Russia-Ukraine. We discussed it in the last episode, that transit halt of the gas coming from Russia through to Ukraine. Are there any developments there?
Not really. So there's always a lot of talk about will supplies be resumed, also in the context of the U.S. administration sending messages that they want to end the war in Ukraine. But so far, we've seen nothing concrete when it comes to gas deliveries to Europe.
Before we actually move to the U.S. over the ocean, let's focus on maybe the election coming up in Germany. Is that something to watch for when it comes to energy?
The government has to start a couple of initiatives that are necessary for the German energy market. The power plant strategy in German Kraftwerkstrategie is one of these elements, and it's very important that the related legislation is moved ahead very quickly. So we certainly hope that after the election, this will be expedited.
Something we will definitely watch closely.
Yes, absolutely.
Looking maybe to China real quick. There, the president said that they will try to boost the economy a little bit. What factor would that have be on a global economy?
The impact of China on the U.S. economy, on the world economy, is of course big, and also on the energy markets, because China is a huge importer of hydrocarbons, of oil and gas in particular. And whether their economy is booming, that you really has a huge effect, or also of, in particular, how much LNG, how much oil is imported into China.
China was in the news related to the U.S. as well. We were talking about tariffs the previous episode as well. Trump now went through with tariffs on Canada, Mexico, delayed it now for 30 days until, I think, March, but imposed tariffs also on China, especially on coal and on LNG deliveries. Does that change any dynamic when we are talking about the global network, trade network, LNG network?
It certainly has an impact. So when we're discussing on sanctions or tariffs, better tariffs, yeah, so there's two effects. One is the effect on global economy and on economy in certain regions. So if tariffs are imposed, for example, on aluminium and steel exports from Europe to the U.S., then there, of course, there's a reason. So there are companies exporting and importing that steel and aluminium, and if they if that gets more expensive, it has an impact on these companies and on economy as a whole. It's hard to see how such an impact on commerce and trade can have a beneficial impact on the economies in the long term. So that so I would see this is rather dampening the economy, because I mean investments on both sides to either take off the steel or produce it will take some time to materialize. And the other effect is if energy imports or exports are directly affected. So in the case of China, when the U.S. Announced the tariffs on Chinese exports that are goods that are imported into the U.S., China announced counter tariffs on U.S. LNG and coal exports that go into China. And that, of course, can have a more direct impact in the world's trade of gas and coal industries. Yeah. So, having that said, it's important whether this is basically a means then to force others into negotiation, and there is an intention to, after a deal is done, these tariffs would be removed. Whether that's the case, or whether they may remain in place for a long time. Yeah. In this particular case, however, the effect will probably be limited, because the U.S. LNG that goes into China, for example, has a that is limited, and China can buy the LNG somewhere else. The biggest part of the U.S. LNG is going into Europe, as we speak.
Yeah, something we definitely need at this point of time, especially looking at the storages, which are below 50% right now. I think was one of the questions from the audience as well. It's like, are we able to fill these storages given the current levels? What is your estimation there?
Yeah, first of all, storage below 50% at this point of the year is not unusual. It's lower than we've seen in recent years, but it's still not unusual. So. But the interesting question is how to fill them in summer, which is absolutely necessary also to reach the EU and German storage targets where we have. And then LNG, we have the capacity. LNG is certainly one way of filling, but we have to attract the LNG, which means we need to pay the price on the world market, which is relatively high. So that is then, of course, the effect. We need to pay that price in order to attract that LNG into Europe.
And especially the storages are needed in case we don't have a lot of renewable production, something we previously discussed as well. Let's stay with renewables for a second. How do you see this progressing in Europe? Is there enough capacity right now, or is there room for improvement as well?
There's good progress. I think we are on a good way. So at certain point, of course, we need to consider, I mean, and in Germany, we've set the number above 50% renewable power generation in Germany as we speak. So that's good news. On the other hand, of course, you need the capacity then to balance the fluctuations you have in renewable power from the change of weather. So basically wind and solar, you need capacity that can balance that, which means we need plants like gas-fired plants. We are phasing out coal over the years, we have already phased out nuclear, and we need to balance that. Yeah, and otherwise we will come to a limit of what the system can cope with from a renewable side.
Yeah, let's stay with that for a second, because that was one of the questions we received on LinkedIn as well. How do we manage the balance between the decarbonization targets and security of supply, in your view?
Yeah, that's the key question when it comes to energy transition. It's very, very relevant. The answer is renewables build out is, of course, a very good idea. So that helps very much. But you also need to have the dispatchable capacity that helps to balance that. That's absolutely necessary. This is why legislation like German Kraftwerksgesetz is so important. Yeah, and only then can we have an energy transition that is balanced and that fulfills all the need, that it's sustainable, it's affordable, and at the end of the day, it's also secure.
Okay, understood. And I would like to jump into the interview that I did with Gundolf Schweppe, the CEO of Uniper Sales, at this point as well, because I asked him a similar question. Let's check it out. All right, I'm here with Gundolf Schweppe, CCO, Uniper Sales. Thanks for being with us today, Gundolf. Can you share maybe what are your impressions of the eWorld so far?
Well, I think if you look around at eWorld, it's packed. It's super full. And every year I have the feeling there are more people on site. And I think it's true. So I heard we have 900 stands this year. And looking at next year, I was told we're going to expand, so they're going to build a whole new building to cover everything. What does that relate to? Networking, meeting people, and it just shows that people like to mingle in person, and it just gives us the opportunity to do business, to meet our contacts, to meet our clients, to tighten that relationship, and at the end of the day, basically have a relationship that stands and holds.
Definitely. Today, I'm also covering the subject, how to balance security of supply and decarbonization topics in the Market Insights with Gregor. You sit together with a lot of clients. Can you maybe share what is their theme about it? What is their topic? Are they looking into directions like this?
Well, I think decarbonization and security of supply definitely is an important topic. But if I may, I think there's a more important topic just covering the theme of this fair we are here right now, which is competitiveness. Really pricing, are we competing in the global market? And looking around, I mean, we have record gas prices around the 55, 56 euros a megawatt hour, which is substantially above the levels we've seen in the past and also before the crisis. And of course, we have the new storage levy, which will also probably hit industry and customers. And that is simply a topic where customers look to us as a big importer. How can we be part of the solution? How can we be able to provide competitive prices, competitive energy to our industry? And that's a challenge we are taking and we are taking on.
Okay, understood. Can you share maybe what else is on the agenda for you when it comes to topics for this year? Anything else?
Yes, definitely. I think there's one overarching theme that you see everywhere, that is flexibility. I think flexibility, the topics have been around for a couple of years, but I think this year is really where it nails it, where it really comes to hearing, which is flexibility on PVs, batteries, the combination of a heat pump. Everything is there and it is reality with the customer. So it's becoming real. And we as a importer really have to find that topic that we find a solution on this one.
All right, Gundolf, thank you very much for the insights and continuous successful convention.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, Gregor. One last thing before I let you go into the eWorld action again. Are there any trends that we haven't discussed that are on your agenda for this year? Anything that you would like to highlight?
I think we mentioned all the big points, the main points. This is the economic development of the world, of the different regions, also Europe, Germany. How does it continue with decarbonization? That determines the future of many big projects that are out there when it comes to green hydrogen, electrolyzers, et cetera, and so on and so forth. The future of commerce and trade conflicts that could emerge, and how will that play out? But also, of course, the policies that will be in place in Germany in the energy markets after the elections. All of that is relevant and important to follow up.
We will observe over the course of the next month and report on Market Insights. Thank you very much, Gregor. And a successful rest of the eWorld.
Yeah, thank you. And same to you, Sven.
Thank you very much. And to you out there, thank you very much for watching or listening. Hope you tune in next time again. Until then,
bye-bye.